What's going on, everybody? This is the Real Bodybuilding Podcast, and today I am coming to you solemnly with two friends, Ben and James, Luke's best friends, and I considered him a very good friend of mine, too, since we work together every week on the podcast, and we just wanted to kind of get together and have a chat, talk about Luke, and talk about how he was and who he was, and kind of just say our last pieces. I felt like there was a lot of information going out from a lot of channels that maybe didn't know him so well. So I thought it was a good idea to get the people that knew him most, or some of the people that knew him most, to come on and have a chat. So how are you guys? How are you holding up?
Pretty decent, man. All things considered. I think I'm like Ben, you know, I'm not saying we're like used to this shit, because we're not. No one's used to this shit. But I mean, we're mature enough to take this in and kind of process it and not lose our way. And that's why we wanted to come on here and be able to talk with you, because really, to be fair, there's so much to be celebrated about Luke. We didn't want everyone to think that this is just a situation where everyone should just basically ultimately crumble. So I wanted to come in here, and I haven't caught up with Ben very much. We spoke yesterday briefly over the phone, and I just thought what your idea of getting us together is great, because I think we need to just talk on someone who is absolutely a great man.
Ben, how are you doing, man?
I'm okay. I'm up and down. I think for me, it's been tough. It's been up and down. I think being distracted with the response, which has been overwhelming. I mean, obviously, he's very popular out there, but to James and I, I've known him from before he was a pro. James has known him for before he was this megastar. And so you kind of see people's followings and everything, and it's no reflection. And then when something like this happens, and I'm like, Jesus, I had over 1,000 DMs that I'm trying to work my way through, which, because I out of respect to the people taking their time to message, it's important that I actually try to reply to everyone, even if it's just a like, but you know, just
that's what I'm doing, yeah.
Acknowledging them. So I apologize if I'm not replying to everybody, but I think that's kept me somewhat distracted. This morning it was a little harder. I kind of left my phone alone and just had some time to myself, and I think that's the where I was like, oh, that's where it's going to start to process for me, where I've not been facing my own feelings with it. But the reason I wanted to do this podcast was because I think, you know, like James and I, and I spoke to you earlier, we knew the other side that there was to Luke, and I think the bodybuilding community, which were not privy to that, are stunned. And I don't want to speak on James's behalf here, but it's a sentiment that I said to you. I'm deeply saddened, but I'm not overly shocked that he would feel it appropriate to do this. More like it was his only option. It's something that has haunted him and has been there. And I think that's why I made the video I did last night, because, and again, I didn't want to make a video. I didn't want to post anything. And I'd said to the Sando family that I would stay off the grid with it. But there seemed to be this shock, because he was, on the one hand, this happy, witty, funny. There's such this personality that the 200,000 followers were accustomed to and knew. And while that was Luke, that was a big part of who Luke was, it wasn't the whole Luke that I knew. And I think James can speak to that. James had time with him on his own. And I think there's a lot to the man. And I do mean this in a good way, that wasn't shown on social media. There's a lot of good that he had, but there was also a dark side that I don't want to get too deep into. But I think it's important that over time we use what Luke went through to make it approachable, an approachable subject for people. Yeah. If it can happen, if Luke can be there, then it's okay for me to be there too, you know?
Yeah.
That's the message I think that we should head towards.
I think it's a good message because, you know, when you start, it's weird. Like, okay, so Paul, my training partner, is my best friend, right? And I see him every day. We go train and stuff, but it's weird. Like, we don't talk like that unless, you know, we go on a road trip or something. So like our conversations every day are like the 15 minutes to the gym and the 15 minutes back home and maybe a 20 minute call later on. When I talked to Luke, I would talk to him for 2 hours straight, and you don't always get to do that with people.
No.
And I did that every week, and there was times when I felt like he wanted to express things, but he would – remember James when we would
– Yeah, I know.
It happened actually on both of our podcasts, one I did with you, Ben, and one I did with you, James, where I would see little cracks where, like, he was going to begin to say something, and then he would stop himself.
Yeah.
And I would even ask him later sometimes. I would ask him after the podcast, hey, man, what was that about? And it was almost like he was too guarded, well, with me, because maybe he didn't know me well enough, but he just didn't want to get – he didn't want to get it out. You know what I mean?
I think he was guarded with us all. Don't get me wrong, I don't know. Obviously, Ben's very, very close to Luke. And I got really pretty close with Luke over the last, you know, year or so. And he told me a lot of things. And he worked his way towards telling more, but there was a certain threshold where he wouldn't go beyond.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you feel the same with that, Ben. It was like he would talk on his past and he'd talk on his upbringing and he would allow you to know much about him. But there was just a segment of time or occurrences that he just didn't want to delve into. And rightly, you know, if he couldn't talk about it, he couldn't talk about it. But it was present, you know, you could tell. And like you said, when we were on the podcast and we were speaking and he was coming too. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know what, guard's up. And it's tough. And I can't blame him.
It's weird. With Luke, I always felt like I didn't want to upset him. So when he said something and I started to try and pry into it, I felt like he would get a little, no, he wasn't upset, but he would get kind of reserved. And I didn't like that, Luke. So I wouldn't push.
Yeah.
But now I feel like maybe I should have pushed. I don't know. Like, you know, like, not, I'm not saying like it's my fault or anything. I'm just saying like sometimes you feel like maybe you should have tried to get more out of the person.
I sometimes feel like, I don't know how you feel, Ben, but sometimes I think I was too soft. Sometimes I feel like I should have, like, especially like in the gym, I should have given a bit more tough love. Like, I just wanted to, I was like you, I was always concerned about how Luke felt. So it says a lot there. He was definitely giving his friends an energy where we were concerned. But to what extent?
I've experienced a little bit of that you guys talk about, especially, I say early on.
Mm.
I have pushed him. I have taken him down that path and said,
yeah,
this out, because of some things that happened where I said, this isn't okay and we need to down to the bottom. And I didn't leave it alone. I've been honest and blunt with him and thought, fuck it, if he tells me to piss off. He's walked out of the gym on me. He's walked out of the gym on me 5 or 6 times.
Can you, Ben, speak up a little bit?
Yeah. I've been very blunt and honest with Luke at times. And there's been times where I pushed him to the point where he told me to fuck off and walked out the gym on me, right?
Why? What did you say to him to get him to walk out of the gym on you?
Just, I'm honest with him. There's people that will tiptoe around him sometimes, and I get it, and I do, and sometimes I leave things alone, and sometimes I thought, no, this is too big to leave alone. We have to, this isn't okay. And so a lot of things that James is talking about where he goes into, and you know, it stems from a very young age with Luke. A lot of it he doesn't know himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to figure some of that out. He was doing some investigating. And some of it is deeply troubling, and there's some things that will stay between him and I, right? but it explains a lot. And it's something that like you said, you wish you'd been a bit firmer and a bit... I was firmer and it didn't resolve anything. Needed to go down that... Decided to go down that path himself. And over the years, we chipped away and he was getting to him. He was getting to a point where he was investigating it. And I think he was willing to dig up some memories because he wasn't happy with how it was making him respond. He knew something didn't compute and he wasn't, things that weren't working in his brain like it does for you and I when we're stressed, and he realized and recognized that there was something else going on that had been caused from years ago. And so I think the bit that hurts me is he was being proactive about it, more so recently in the last 18 months than ever. And I just think some circumstances.
Do you think him, I always wondered this, do you think him leaving the band and turning to lifting had something to do with that? Because I know there's a solace and a therapy that comes with training, especially at the way he trained and the level he trained at. Do you think that had anything to do with it?
I don't think so.
No.
I think Luke needed company, and I think this lockdown was a very big issue.
Kept him away from his
friends. Gym.
Yeah.
I think Luke's such an intelligent character. He's one of the most intelligent people I know. But intelligent people need to be fed. Their minds need to be fed, and they need to be spoken to, and they need to be able to speak back. And it's great, like Luke being able to do podcasts every day of the week, but social interaction is a massive thing about keeping Luke healthy and mentally sound. Because I know, and Ben knows, because Ben's been around him in the gym, half of his reasons of being in the gym aren't even the bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. Like, as much as Luke loves bodybuilding, he will spend time in the gym because he wants to be there and he wants to be around people. Certain people, not everybody, granted, but it's definitely, it was his way of getting out of the house and being around people that could feed his intelligence because he's so smart. And to put a man like that in a house with not a lot going on is a real, in my opinion, from knowing Luke, and I can only speak from my experience of Luke, is a real issue in asking for problems.
Yeah. It's something that I said to you earlier. I was always aware of those, say, demons. And I wasn't scared of them. The scenario that I was scared of was when he retired.
Yeah. When he's not occupied.
Yeah,
but sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Obviously, to me, while there was always another show, while he was occupied training, while he was able to be on his phone, be on his podcast, it was distracting him from being in his own head.
Yeah. And
I was terrified of what happens when this is over, when he's 42, 43, whatever it is, and things start to slow down, or he can't train it anymore, or he gets a few injuries, because I know unless he dealt with those demons between now and then, they were going to haunt him and do some damage.
I don't. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to understand mental health.
No.
To the level I need to or should, but I think to myself, just when you said that, I think to myself, bodybuilding itself has helped me mature tenfold as a man. Like the level of maturity of myself from when I was 30 to 40 is extremely different, and it's also helped me learn how to problem solve and learn how to just manage certain things in life. And I feel like it's sad to me that this happened, because maybe Luke would have matured in the time it took him to retire. You know what I mean? In the next 10 years, maybe he would be different. Maybe he would have figured things out. You know what I mean? Like it would have been different from 30 to 40, or no, you don't think so, Ben?
Come on, Ben.
Or James, I don't know. You don't think.
I think, I don't know. It's just whether the issues whether he would have ever been able to speak on the issues, because it's like when we spoke on the podcast, Flood, like the little issues that I raised are things I've never spoken about, but I'm like, fuck it, I'm 30. Yeah. And for me to go forward, like, some things have to be out there, even if they embarrass me.
Yeah.
But I don't think Luke was quite at the same stage yet. And maybe it would come. Like you say, like, maybe in about 2 years' time, he'd feel exactly the same. It's just an individual thing.
Yeah, but that's exactly my point, is you reach 30 and you're like, okay, I'm ready now. And I feel like so much changes you. And I don't want to say it's just bodybuilding. I mean, people mature anyways, but mm-hmm. I feel like things happen to you when you're in a bodybuilding career, whether it be losses or injuries or whatever, that make you mature faster.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe when he was 35, maybe when he was 40, he would have felt different about expressing himself. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think, and again, we've spoken about this, I had deep conversations with Luke. I met him right after my accident, and I had PTSD, and there was some depression and some things going on. And this is what I said earlier. I said, I thought I could relate to that point of thinking, I don't know any other way out, and I don't have any options. And I think there's a lot of guys out there that have thought a similar thing and have considered, maybe even to the point of the specifics of how they were going to do something extreme. I know I certainly have. So I thought I could relate to Luke, because we've had discussions before where he opened up to me and told me about certain times and where that's been the case for him. However, after sitting and contemplating things yesterday, I think taking yourself down the road where you're considering versus carrying through and executing that decision are worlds apart.
Mm.
And as much as you have matured and you might have had your own struggles, I think what Luke was experiencing, I don't think ever comprehend that level of, or I hope I never do, because I think I've realized in the last 24 hours that I was way off. I was way under what he was contending with.
Yeah.
I took it probably too lightly. I didn't give it as much severity as it was, because for him to decide that that was appropriate, that's what saddens me the most, where that man laid on his bed and decided, this is my only way. This is my only option. And again, I spoke to you earlier, Fred, where Luke and I are not religious men. So we don't believe there's an afterlife. And I think that when you believe like we do, that there's nothing, the option that you're facing is darkness, complete black. And Luke decided that that was a better option for him than to stay here and figure it out.
Yeah.
That to me is scary.
I think, and do you know what, this is what we need to aware, because as we say, mental illnesses, it's an illness, yeah? And we have to accept that perhaps Luke was ill. He's one of our friends. There was something there. There was a wire in there that was not quite firing right. Because like you said, it's worlds apart. 90% of people can say, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to do it. But it takes something to do it. And is that thing something broken? Because, you know, we love Luke, and I don't want to talk about him like he's a fucking broken toy, because he's not. But there was something inside Luke that wasn't firing right.
Can I interject, though? Can I,
yeah,
can
of
I
course,
say?
Of course you can.
Is it, and this is just an objective thought, it's not about Luke, but do you think it's because something's not firing, or do you think it's because so much has happened to somebody, they just can't deal with it? When you talk about bipolar disorder, right? People usually have medication for that because something, like you said, is not working properly.
Yeah.
But in this case, it could be a circumstance of life and not necessarily a wire being crossed.
Yeah, of course. But this is where it's so tough, because we don't know the full truth.
That's right.
So we don't know what happened, and we don't know whether the next man has had exactly the same occurrences, but it affected one more than the other, and what leads to that being more effective against one than the other. Like, honestly, it's hard. He's like fucking one of our best friends, and I don't know how to really discuss it. I don't really know what to say, but you know, the word issue was there. There's an issue, and I don't know how to kind of put that into real terms because I have never ever in my life, and I'm only speaking for me, I've had some shit happen. I've been, you know, fucking, you know, arrested multiple times, fucking been done for G fucking BH and all sorts of shit and done stupid cunting stuff. But it's never once made me think I need to call it a day. Like, I lost mom and all that, and I'm not trying to compare at all.
I'm just saying that
something can happen to and have much more of a dramatic effect against than someone else.
True.
And that's where I'm wondering, what does that? I'm intrigued more than anything. Like, I want to know, because I want to know how we can help people. And without knowing why that happens, how can we help?
Yeah.
I fucking love Luke. Like, and I wanted him to be okay. And for me to say the things I say, the only reason I'm valid at saying it is because, like Ben, I spent time around him and almost figuring him out. Mm-hmm. And trying to figure him out, so that figuring out someone allows you to help them. But I couldn't help. And that's where I'm just confused.
There were some things that he started on that he'd actually had blocked out and actually genuinely couldn't remember years. Again, that's something that's personal to Luke and that will stay that way.
Yeah. But
the point where if something's so traumatic that your brain decides to partition it away and accessible, that's beyond anything I've experienced, you know. And I've been through some trauma. I had, like I said, the accident of trauma.
Yeah.
My brain still allowed me to remember the event. And he truly was discovering some things that he had no idea about. And remembered it. You know, it's just different.
Then, like you say, Ben, then perhaps it is a case of exactly what you said, Fuad. It is a case of circumstances being too much.
Yeah.
You know?
But
that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say this one way or the other. I'm just
No, I know. But I do agree with you, James, because like I can look, I have a very, very close friend of mine whose family is in shambles. And he's got, it's him and another and a sibling. And one sibling is a complete wreck and can't get his life together. And he is exceeded beyond what success is. So they both live the same circumstances, but they both have different lives.
Yeah.
So I don't know really what the explanation is. I don't know. You know what I mean?
I say, well, none of us are experts.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on my head. Put it this way. You can bench press 4 plates and James can bench press 4 plates and you're going to grow different. The chemistry that's going on.
Yeah.
He reacts differently, responds differently. It's nothing, you can't put a science on it, you know?
Yeah. Are you guys feeling like me where, so I got the news from James yesterday. He called me and I like broke down on the phone because it hit me really, really hard for like a couple hours. And then I went through anger and then I went through disbelief. I'm in like the disbelief phase still. Like I almost still feel like he's going to call me and be like, when's the podcast?
Because he's such a fucking character. Because he's such a cartoonish, hilarious character. You can never expect the cartoons to end.
It's just very, look, I don't know about you guys. I've never had anybody, like my father died, a little over 10 years ago. But, you know, that's expected. He was older. He had lived a full life. I've never had anybody die like a friend of mine at a time when it wasn't supposed to happen. So it's very just... it's a very odd feeling to me. Sure. Like somebody said to me just now on the thing, they're like, I hope you keep the podcast going. And then I realized it just hit me again. There is no podcast. Like there's no, it keeps hitting me. Like, it's like, you guys get that at all or no?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like Luke's got, you know, we all had plans with Luke of our own. And just like, Ben's probably got so many plans with Luke. I had, you know, we had our little thing going on the Food Boys at Redcon. You know, like we had our thing as well. And then, you know, Ben's going to get fucking married at some point. You know, I bet Luke was going to be the best man. Like, and then we have to, in our head, think, shit, damn.
Yeah.
I'm angry. I got a baby in the way. I'm godfather to his son. He was in my
Exactly.
Like, I want my kid to meet you.
Yeah.
That's actually what's been happening to me. Like last night, it happened to me like three different times. I can't remember all three separate things, but at one point I thought to myself, Luke and James are supposed to come to my house. Mm. Like you and James are supposed to come to Canada and stay here. And, you know, there's this little stuff that kept popping up that like me and Luke had talked about doing together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I fucking can't do that. I fucking can't do that. It's like
Denise said to me earlier, he was supposed to be in the UK training with Luke for his show in the New York and this and that right now. She said, you would have been back in the UK with him. She's like, if this lockdown hadn't happened, you'd be there with him. And I'm like, okay.
Is there any level of, are you guys feeling any level of anger?
I'm not angry at all. I'm just sorry. It's just it's a sorrow in me right now. I have nothing in me, no anguish, no resent for Luke, no like, why did you do it? I literally just have sorrow for exactly what Ben said, the fact that he must have been in feeling a specific way for a long enough period of time in order to call it a day.
I'm slightly angry, but not towards Luke.
What are you angry for then, Ben?
I need to choose my words carefully. I don't mean to be an arsehole.
I probably know where you're going with this, and I probably agree.
What I've witnessed in the whole time I've been with Luke, I feel deeply sorry for Carly. That's his ex-girlfriend. She's a pro. They were together when we met.
Yeah.
He has a heart of gold. And Caroline, who is Leo's mom, has a heart of gold. And those two women, I'm trying to keep in contact with them and make sure they're okay. I'm not going to be specific, but the relationships that Luke had following that as a pro bodybuilder, he's been tormented and it hasn't helped his situation. Now, Luke's not an innocent party in that. You choose who you're with. Because I'm also receiving messages from those individuals.
Yeah.
Irritated because I saw that boy. He helped me through a toxic relationship as well. And he used to get angry at it. And, you know, we both went through it. So I think the scenario that he was in was not helped by the individual that he had chosen to put himself with, but it just makes me, I feel like somebody's been taken very close away from me that maybe might not have needed to have happened if.
So is your anger is towards those individuals, or where is your anger directed? I'm not trying to get you to say anything you don't want to say. I'm
angry towards the hurt that the loved ones have been left with.
Okay.
That was taken away from them by somebody who I don't believe loved him and was more using him for who he was. I mean, you guys must have experienced this yourselves. I know you're both family men, but becoming more popular, there comes some attention with that.
Yeah. And
I just think more than I even trusted the wrong people. And I wish to God he'd not gone down that path with some of them. And I think it didn't help him. It backed him into a corner that he regretted some things. I think if you were to ask him honestly, he would wind the clock back 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, he would have. He would have been. You know that because of the conversations you've had with him and I've had with him.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be.
I know what you're trying not to do, but the fact of the matter is, he knows that he's made mistakes.
Yeah, it's just a little part of you. It doesn't change anything, but it's just an emotion I have right now.
Yeah.
What is it wrong of me to feel? And I'm asking you guys this honestly because it's just an emotion I have, and it could be because I'm a fucked up person. But is it wrong of me to feel any anger towards him?
No, because it's your own interpretation of the situation.
It's not as much anger as it is like, why, dude? Like, what the fuck? It's more of like a what the fuck. you know, like, but that's all. I just want to,
you want
to, yeah. Like if I could talk to him, I just want to be like, what the fuck? That's all I can think.
Mate, you're more than entitled to feel that way. And tens of people are entitled to feel that way that know him personally.
Yeah. I don't,
I feel like the shock is greater for people that know him less.
Yeah. Like, yeah. 100%.
And there's more of those. There's a shit ton more of those. The 100,000 followers that I've had to, like, it's all like, this can't be true. No way, no way. And I say, unfortunately, I had the, when I was told on the phone, I was like,
yeah, can I just say something before we go on? I just want to,
yeah, of course.
And I don't know how much longer we're going to go on. I just want to say this before anybody tunes out. So we started a, for those listening, we started a GoFundMe account for Luke's children.
Yeah.
Nothing, not a dollar of it is going to be touched for anything else. It's for his family and for his kids. And if anybody's listening and they want to donate, please do so. I'll put the link in the description. Listen, and I know this is going to sound silly to you and it sounds like a cliche, but even I think the minimum donation is $5 and it's in British pounds. So do the conversion on Google, just type in British pounds to American dollars or whatever. But even if you just give five British pounds or $5 or whatever it is, it all matters. Cause I think I said earlier in one of my Instagram posts, there's 30,000 people listen to our podcast and he has 200,000 or more followers on Instagram. So even if everybody just gave $5, it's more than helpful. So don't think just because I have $5, I'm not going to donate. It's not enough. It will help. So please, everybody, if you can, click the link in the description, leave a little bit for his kids. And I just want to kind of say that, get it out of the way before we go on with anything else.
All righty. So
is there any, and I know this is probably too soon to say this, but other than discussing mental issues, is there anything positive that can come out of this? Because to me, the only positive that comes out of this entire situation is just that maybe more people will open up and talk to their family members or friends.
It can only be awareness. There's nothing really positive to say because we have literally lost someone who was just one in a million.
Yeah.
Like Luke exuded energy that no one else did. And you can see that because people didn't even know him, love him. Like he's like, he's got fans because he's just like so other.
Dude, you have no idea, man. I would like the messages I would get about the podcast, people would just send me messages and be like, Luke makes me so happy. Me and my wife like to watch Luke cause he makes us laugh. And I know, Ben, you're saying there's another side and a more serious side to Luke that people didn't know. But, I mean, fuck, it's like what he did for people just by shooting the shit and by the videos he did, the Redcon videos, all the different videos. It's insane the impact he's had on people in such a short time.
He's, the thing that makes me laugh about it is he had no idea why. He was genuinely confused as to why anyone liked him. I stayed at his house over Christmas, right? And I think Redcon put a video up. He sat on his phone and he was zoned into it, like he always damn well is, right?
Yeah.
My guy, he's just lost him on Instagram. And he was like, looked at me and was like, that's 30,000 views. Been up for 2 hours. Who the fuck gives a shit what I've got to say? Like, I was just observing. I thought it was a little funny. I was like, and then I thought about it, I was like, he genuinely can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Genuinely thinks this is all weird. Like, why is anyone interested? So I remember Aaron would be like, oh yeah, I want you to be more on Instagram, do this. And he's like, no one's going to want to watch me. Kind of what we were talking about, where you start up, just start and people will start.
Yeah.
And he's like, no one's going to want to fucking give a shit. And I start up doing things and no one really cares. Luke starts doing it and it gains like this. And he couldn't figure it out. I promise you. And I know he has this, like James' video earlier, he said that he comes off as this confident, confident guy. That's there was no confidence with him. His self-esteem wasn't what he portrayed.
Yeah.
He seemed very, you know, this big 300-pound successful bodybuilder.
Yeah.
That wasn't who he saw himself as. He was...
Ben, you know what he's like. He goes in a room, and if there's a mirror, he looks at it, goes, I look shit.
But every bodybuilder does that, though.
Yeah, but Luke does it. Like, I mean, Luke really does it.
Yeah,
like he had no confidence.
Yeah,
he had none. But the thing is, he had no confidence, but yet he would see the strengths in everyone else.
He did,
and he would praise them for what they have.
But it would be almost annoying. I'm like, are you taking the pit? I'm like, have you seen me? Like, we've been posing together, right?
Yeah.
And he'd be, oh man, my arms are tight. I'm like, fuck
yeah.
off.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, he did it to me every week. We would do the podcast, and every week he'd be like, I don't know why anybody listens to this shit. And I'm like, I don't know either. We both kind of knew it was, he didn't ever think anything he did was great, but I think personally, the fact that he thought that way is what made him so great. Because honestly, if you're somebody that thinks you're amazing, it doesn't come across as genuine, and people don't gravitate towards that. I think people gravitated towards him because he was more humble and because he didn't think he was a superior bodybuilding. You know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying at all?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's kind of like when you see a hot chick and she's
stuck up. You're like,
yeah. And she's stuck up. You're like, ah, fuck off. Whatever.
Yeah. Don't give a fuck if you're hot. But if they're fucking spicy and they are,
that's right.
Really, really lovely and really like gentle. You're like, oi, oi.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Luke. Luke was the hot chick that didn't know he was hot. That's Luke.
Yeah. So. You get all loads of girls. And I'm like, you're constantly on your phone, like battling girls away.
Yeah.
All you saw was, oh, you got a girl message you. I'm like, what? So you talk like he just never perceived himself.
Yeah.
It was a weird, yeah, he's just,
guys, just like larger than life. Like, I sometimes feel the great ones go because life, the world just wasn't good enough for them. Like, the world wasn't special enough for someone as special as Luke.
Yeah.
People that have just gone before their time. And it makes me wonder, like, is there somewhere else where they go? Because I'm not religious myself, but whoever be in charge thinks these are exceptional people. We need to take them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just
somebody. Somebody said something on my Instagram about Robin Williams. They're like, maybe he was like Robin Williams, where like, and I've heard that about a lot of comedians, how they have sordid pasts, and that's why they're great comedians, because they found a way to cope with what's going on in their life.
From the outside world looking in, looking at everything, right? I mean, how many kids want to be Luke Sandow?
Yeah.
Sandow, by the way, not Sandow, because fucking... Anyway, how many kids are there on these things that think that, you know, and I know what he was getting paid, he had no worries financially, right? And Luke didn't spend money.
Yeah.
He wasn't a flashy boss. I'm the dick that wasted money, right?
Yeah.
Luke still got over 90% of his Arnold check in his bank.
Yeah.
And the told you the guy, the only money he spent from that, I'm going to be honest, I don't care. He bought Caroline, Leo's mom, the car with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what he did with the money.
Why was he so, it's amazing. You know, I was thinking about when you were talking about that, James, you were talking about how so complimentary and generous he was and supportive, because dude, I sent him some photos like a month ago, maybe. And I'm still trying to battle back from, you know, this tear. My body hasn't been looking that good. And I sent him some photos. I'm like, you think I can post this, or it's just like too dog shit? And he's like, you look amazing. And like, I did, trust me, dude, I didn't look amazing. But somehow he was able to pick out something. He's like, look at your shoulders. They're still round, blah, blah, blah. He always had something supportive to say. Even on the podcast, he would find a way to make me look better than I was.
All right. I just feel like Luke, and it may sound cheesy, I just think the guy was full of love. I honestly just think it's as simple as that. I think the man had so much potential to love in his body that he would see the brightness in any of us. Like, if we're ever in doubt or ever felt a little bit, you know, hollow or a little bit lost, Luke would be the first person to say, you're not, and this is what's great about you, which is really sad because he was doing that to others, but whatever we did for him, it couldn't penetrate.
It wasn't enough.
It just couldn't penetrate, yeah. Like, yeah. He knows, he's smart enough to know, but it just couldn't do it.
Donna said something to me the other day, or yesterday. We had a long chat, and Donna's very close. There's myself, James, Donna, and Carly, and obviously now John from Muscle Works. You know, that's his gym family, and we know him very well. And
yeah.
Donna says he loved us all so much and so hard, but he didn't love him. He didn't have that love for himself.
Isn't that really strange how that can happen? How somebody's able to give so much but not receive any compliments or any adoration or anything? It's like, it's very strange. And I think a lot of bodybuilders do that, you know, like, obviously not to that level, but like, you know, I've talked to like Cedric before. Mm. And Cedric will say, you know, if I get 100 comments and one of them is negative, I can only see the negative one. I don't see any of the positive ones. And I've been guilty of that. And I know other bodybuilders have been guilty of that, but usually when it's coming from my peers, I can feel it. It penetrates. But it feels like with Luke, even from his peers, from his best friends, it didn't affect him in a positive way at all.
Yeah. This is why I go back to this. This is why I still wonder about what I said earlier about how you're wired.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like...
But if your self-worth is low because of something that had happened to you in your past or for whatever reason, then it's not going to matter what anybody says to you. I know someone like that. I have a friend, a very, very close friend who's like that. No matter what I say to them that's positive, it's like they didn't even hear it.
Yeah. But then, like you said, the other flip side of the coin is there's some people that have been through a scenario and they learn to get self-worth. And that's where I'm like, how the hell do we figure that part out?
Mm.
Like how do you not look at your past and somehow say, you know what? This is a catalyst for my excellence. Like, I know I'm just, again, I'm just speculating, how do you do that? Like, what is the trigger?
I don't necessarily think that success equals self-worth. But
realizing it's not the end. Realizing it's not, you know, all doom and gloom, even though you've had something extremely bad happen. Where does that?
Yeah.
You know, where does that line draw? You know, and there's people out there that are, God, I don't know. Think of all the things that happen to people, like molesting, fucking all this shit. And I know people that have been through that, and like you said, are great fucking people now, and you wouldn't even know. But then flip side, there's others that aren't here now.
Yeah.
And that's where I just think it's like Ben said, it's just so situational, and it's like genetic traits. Like, some people just take certain information, they do something with it because it's just the way that their bodies are. And the sad thing is, it's like, if that's the case, do we have control?
There has to be some. I mean, it could be none of us are doctors, so this is like a bunch of meatheads having a conversation.
Of course,
I've thought about it a lot. Like, I think all of the circumstances, like, look, just because something bad happened to you when you were five, right? There's still a buildup of situations that happen when you're six, when you're 10, when you're 15, when you're 20. Mm. So even if something really horrible happened to you in your youth, it doesn't mean other circumstances throughout the rest of your life can't change things. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're doomed forever.
Yeah, I know. But then that's the thing, isn't it? It's whether you're not latch onto that and allow those newer circumstances and occurrences to be your drive.
Yeah.
Or that you just can't let go. And if you just can't let go, you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I feel with Luke. I feel like there was some dark thing that he just... And I feel like he just couldn't let go of something. And that's why I said I feel sorry. I really wanted him to be able to.
Go ahead, Ben.
My interpretation of it is this. When he looked in the mirror and looked in his soul, he wasn't happy with who he was. And whether that's... been drummed into him from an experience somewhere down the line. No matter what we achieved, it would never have changed that for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually have a question for you, Ben, because you are his closest friend. Luke, the bodybuilder. Did bodybuilding make him happy?
No. It kept him from a negative place, right? But it's not where he wanted to. Luke wanted a simple life. Luke wanted the basics in life. He wanted, I know this. He wanted a nice house in the country, like low key, a good woman to look after him, someone to love him, and his family to be happy and safe.
Yeah.
Luke couldn't give a shit about the fame, the lights, the glory. Don't get me wrong, he liked training. That's
I
think the competitive side of things wore him down a little. You know, we discussed the other day where he go, fuck, I don't want to do another show. Like mentally, it was tough on him. It beat him down. Mm. Used them to distract him from I'm just going to say the demons, right? And I said this, Luke's sister commented on my post about how much she loved bodybuilding. And I said, I think bodybuilding kept him with us for longer than it would have done otherwise. I think if he hadn't found bodybuilding, he might have ended up down a different path sooner.
I agree. And that's the thing. And it's, I feel like with bodybuilding, I feel like Luke was so exceptional at it that it just made sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Ben? I know it sounds terrible because it's like, I'm not trying to say the man had no passion, but I'm just saying Luke was his body was like, he was the super responder. I don't care what anyone fucking says. You know this, Ben. He responds and his body will do bodybuilding. And when it happens that easy and you're not easy because it's hard work, but easier than others, and you create a career from that, and you get so deep in that hole of being the bodybuilder that everyone knows you for, does it eventually, for Luke, feel like he was acting? Because I feel like you said, I feel like he was such a simple man, and I feel like if he had the chance to walk away in quiet and just be happy and have an income, I feel like he would have. And that's me spending time with him, training with him. I feel like we were the people that, we were more, it sounds weird, we're more bodybuilders than Luke were in terms of like our drive for it, but he was just destined to be it. And I find it really hard.
I just want to interject because we had this exact conversation on a podcast, like maybe three podcasts ago.
Okay.
And we both admitted, it's funny, I said to him, I said, would you be bodybuilding if you weren't, like, are you bodybuilding because you're good at it, or are you bodybuilding because you, he's like, yeah. He's like, pretty much. And he said to me, and I same, because we both agreed, because the same thing happened to me. It was something I started, and then we ended up being good at it, so we just kind of went with it. And I see your point exactly, James. It's like, now he's so good, how do you turn him back around?
Exactly, and the pressure's on, the responsibility's on. Yeah. He's Luke the Juggernaut. You know, he's in everyone's, everyone's eyes. Like, even if a part of him wanted to say, look, I need to call it a day, he felt like he couldn't. And I can't speak for him, and I can't say that is exactly how he felt, but I can only speak from the energy I got from him as a friend.
We have the same thought on that.
Glad, Ben. I'm glad. Because we haven't even, listen, me and Ben haven't even spoke about that, and yet we've had the same feelings towards that.
Yeah.
So that says a lot about the energy that was given off and from our conversations. Like you said, Luke would have loved to just gone to the countryside, man, and walk the dog every day, gone home to his kids, and got, you know, just cracked on.
He wanted simple and he wanted love.
And unfortunately, the love that being the pro bodybuilder and being in the limelight gives is not this type of love that Luke was missing.
I wore my hat like this for him today.
Good man.
Is
that when he calls it the Muslim hat?
This is the Muslim hat. It's really just a hat backwards, but he calls it
you can't see the beak, so I know. You could
ever since he fucking said that, I've gotten the hashtag Muslim hat from every single fucking person. He's given it to me forever now. So that's
good.
What's with the Mickey Mouse shirt? I heard something about that earlier.
I was wearing it when he placed third at the Arnold.
Oh, so that's your shirt now. Yeah.
I wore every shirt last year.
Yeah. There are so many little things I learned about him. Like, I was going to order McDonald's today. Because me and Ben talked about it too, because I know he loves McDonald's and so do I, but I've never ordered a filet of fish, and he always talked about how much he loved the filet of fish. So I was like, I think I'm going to order a filet of fish today just for Luke. Yeah. And well,
funny story. Yeah, you'd say that. When we was in Florida, not Florida, when we were in Columbus,
yeah,
our flight got canceled on the way home. So we're stuck for one more night. And obviously Luke was on his diet and so was I.
Yeah.
And nothing was fucking open. Yeah. And we just both said, fuck it. Let's get McDonald's. And literally we spent about $100 on the McDonald's. And I think we had like multiple fillet o' fishes each. And I never even had one before. So yeah. he even got me on that. And I said, that was fucking good. And what made it even better is I might have had a little puff before. I had a little puff of the special stuff and I had this fucking fillet of fish and it tasted amazing.
So I got to tell you, you just mentioned puff. I got to tell you a story when we were on the plane to Tampa, right? And Luke wasn't a fan of flying and we don't fit in the fucking seats either, right? So, we're on our way to Ohio. Sorry. Yeah. We're on our way to Ohio. Sat next to each other like this and yes, I'm going, before we take off, I'm going to go for a piss. So he walks up to the thing, comes back, and as he's walking down the aisle, the fucking fire alarm's going, wah, 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 wah. Comes and sits back next to me, and his eyeballs are glazed. And gone. And he's just sat there like that, and looks at me, and I'm like, okay?
he's fucking chill now.
U.S. comes down the walkway, and I'm like, oh, fuck. She comes up to me and leans over and goes, excuse me, sir, we just checked the security camera. You just came out of the toilet. What were you doing in there? And he's like this. He's like, nothing. She was like, were you smoking then? He goes, no, it was aerosol, deodorant. And then she goes, really? Because if you were smoking there, it's an offense and we're going to have to throw you off the plane. He went, I get really anxious and I use this. I'm really sorry. And I'm just like, it's going, oh, fuck. If we get thrown off this thing,
yeah.
What do we do? I just made
And they let you. They let you stay.
Yeah. She was like, okay, put it away and please don't do it again. He's like,
wow. Lucky son of a bitch.
And then like 6 hours later into the flight, she came over and she's like, oh, one of my friends back home is a really big fan. Can I have a picture with you? I'm like, you fucker.
He gets away with murder, eh? Can you guys explain to me, why does Luke get away with murder?
Because he's a cheeky chappy.
I've never met anybody who can fucking say anything to anyone and it's okay.
He's just got that charisma.
Is that why?
Charismatic bastard. That's what he is.
I got to tell you guys, I might have been 10 years older than him, but I swear to God, that kid taught me so much in such a short period of time. Like, I only knew him for, you know, we met a while back, but I really got to know him about a year ago.
Yeah.
And he's just a better person. He's just a better person than me. Like, I would talk to him, and while I was talking to him, I'm like, how do I be like more like Luke? Because he would take time to talk to people, and he would take, and I know James, I know Ben, you said, you know, he's not always like that nice, happy guy that we see, but I don't know. I guess I'm just going to like to remember him that way. And I was just like, he would leave me, like I would get off the podcast and he would leave me feeling like I was an asshole. Like I need to be and I know I am, but he would leave me feeling like I needed to be a better person.
Well, you know,
what was incredible is his mind, particularly with movies and popular culture and referencing things or quoting a line. I'm like, God, you have a library, like your brain.
Yeah.
How much weed you fucking smoked. You shouldn't remember shit. You're able to pull out these quotes or facts and things from out of his ass. I don't know where they came from.
I know.
Yeah, he had a sharp, sharp mind on him. Really did.
Yeah. But that's the thing. He had an excellent mind. He had a truly exquisite level of fucking intelligence, that kid.
You know how I knew that? This is going to sound really stupid to you guys, but we would do so many of those would you rather questions. You know, would you rather do this or would you rather do that? And so no matter how stupid his fucking answers were,
he'd really contemplate it.
But he always figured out a way out of it. One of the ones, I can't remember what the fuck it was. It was like
a we had one about fucking your dad or mom or some shit.
Well, no, he didn't want to get involved in that one. But we had one about it was like a fuck, marry, kill or something like that. And I can't remember who it was, but he's like, I would fuck her, kill her, and marry her because she's got all the money and I get to fuck her for the rest of my life anyway. And he kind of found a way to like
really, yeah,
rig it in his favor. And then just like, he was smart. He was just smart. He was witty. He was on the ball. He was quick.
He was creative. Fuck, he was creative.
Yeah.
I mean, ideas. I mean, the Redcon guys gave a little bit of a homage to it yesterday, but we'd go in and I'm like, you know, as an athlete, a lot of times you just go in there and you get directed around, right? Well, Luke would be like, no, how about we do this? Well, let's do it this way. Cause that idea, and having in the room, bear in mind, early on with Aaron, you know, it's like, yes, Mr. Singleman, yes. Like, and he's like, nah, that idea is shit. Let's do this.
Yeah. Mate, Luke's like fucking director and producer.
Yeah, but Aaron would be like, okay, yeah.
That's a good Singerman impression.
They'd roll with it, and all of a sudden it would be better than what they'd imagined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke's crazy in them offices. When he's in that Redcon office, he literally just bowls through there like he's the man. Literally, he just walks into Aaron's office and is like, what are we doing today then? And then everyone just fucking bends to his will. It's brilliant. It's brilliant, honestly.
He's like the Meathead Nation stuff. He had no horse in the race, so to speak. And he's like, hey, you guys should do this design. Or like, why don't you do this? I'm sure he did it with you, for like, hey, do this design. I know he did it with Carly with her glutey wear. I mean, he was really, would offer a lot of ideas. And he never wanted anything back for it. He just wanted to be helpful and creative and give a lot back to it.
I know a lot of people are probably going to say this, you know, now that he's passed on, but I honestly never met anybody like him. Like, never in my life. I've had a lot of friends, you know, high school, grade school, university, whatever, throughout my entire life.
Yeah.
I've never met someone like him. It's like he was in charge, but he let you be in charge. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we would do the podcast and he would make me feel like I was in charge, but I knew I wasn't. It's like, I don't know if that makes sense at all. Like, I don't know, James, you ever feel like if you're training in the gym, he's giving you all the support, but really he's the one leading the way?
I had a funny relationship with Luke. It's a weird one. I think we were quite contradictory of each other. Me and Luke are very different, but I think at the time he needed something different and I needed something a lot more regimented than Luke. he's terrible. I don't know. Like, I was thinking about Luke today and I was thinking about everything he is and everything that I am and how we would clash in a lot of situations. But in reality, it didn't clash because it was like feeding each other something that you didn't have. And I really appreciated that about Luke, is that we were quite different and our opinions were quite different. But I was happy to have that because I like to discuss and Luke likes to discuss. So it was, it was cool. I can't think of exacts right now, but like, we were different. And then there was certain tensions between us as friends, because before we were friends, we were competitors.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always used to say, I'm going to smash his ass because he can't get in condition. And he'd always be like, yeah, but you're fucking small. So it's like, we were different people, but it's like, as you got older and you grew and you started to respect each other more, your differences became your likes. And I really just found that when you're not like someone, it makes you have more in common, which is really fucking odd. And that's what was beautiful about Luke. I just feel like he was completely fucking different than me. And I still feel like he's different. And I still feel like when we were, I'm not blowing fucking smoke up my ass, but I feel like at a time he needed someone like me. And I feel like at a time I needed someone like him. So I think everything was very mutual. And I'm same with Ben. I know that Luke's lent on Ben many a time. But I know that Ben's probably neat. Like you said, Ben, when you've had issues, you've had to go to Luke. So the good thing about Luke, I suppose, is that he was a giver and a taker. You know? He wasn't selfish.
I remember James at Christmas when we were all training together, and I was like, he's going to drive you fucking mental in the gym.
Oh, I know. What? This is the,
why?
Ben was like, you're going to get sick of him. He's fucking always late. Like, and all this shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck. and in truth, that is him.
James is, like you said, he is Mr. Regiment. If you want to teach a kid how to be a bodybuilder and that wants to go all the way to the top, right?
You don't give them to fucking Luke.
James does, right? Show them how he trains, how he approaches his sets, how he acts between his sets.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this to offend James. James didn't have the genetics that Luke did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Get
away with being who he was.
Yeah.
On his phone in between sets and almost laying down. Like, he'd do this. He'd get off a laptop, have his phone in his pocket, right? He'd let go, and as he stood up, one hand's off the bar, and he's putting his phone out of his fucking pocket.
Are you serious?
No, but that's exactly what I'm saying about how Luke was meant to do this.
Is that why I could never get him off his phone when we're on the podcast?
Right. James, how many hours have you spent with where he's not actually spoken to you? He just
okay.
Like Ben, when you came back over for a few days and you sat there with me, you were like, "How's it going?" I was like, I was just like, like, I appreciated it, and I did, and I love training with Luke, but like, I was fucking tired. I was like, Jesus, like, I'm getting to the gym for 1 o'clock because we're meant to train at one. I'm not lifting up a weight until 3 o'clock.
He's that late?
He's there. No, he comes, but he sits down, gets his fucking phone out. 2 hours later, should we go?
Holy shit.
It's so consistent that when we podcast on Sunday or Saturday, I got this. He said, Fuad will be send the link in 15 minutes. I went, cool. But Fuad is running 5 minutes late. Honestly, it's not me this time. Because every fucking time, I guarantee he's late. But
he was never late for me.
That you're special.
I guess I was special. I guess I he was scared of me yelling at him or something.
Yeah, man. Oh, God.
I guarantee you say, like James said, 2 o'clock train. You're not leaving the gym till 6. And you only train for 2 hours. You're not training for those 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even then, I'm running out of the gym because he's going to sit down and talk and twiddle his thumbs for 10, 15 minutes after.
Absolutely. Luke's like just a very unique man. Like, don't get me wrong, when he does his sets, he's great. He's like fucking doing the sets. He's lifting heavy and hard. But in between, man.
I don't know how. I don't know how somebody turns it off and on like that.
Look, if someone like Blanche would have throttled him.
Yeah, yeah.
He couldn't have trained with a certain people. Milos pulled him out. Milos told him to get off his fucking phone. Flex told him, like, pulled him aside and be like, hey, if you want to take this fucking, get to the words at the top. Flex put a ban, told Luke and I, he said, you two, for the Arnold, he was like, Ben, tell him a phone ban and fine him every time he's on his phone. Because...
Well, this is why, Ben, this is why I used to try to drag Luke to Kings for some sessions, because then I'm the fucking boss. Like, but obviously it's very hard to get Luke out of his fucking routine. But that was why I used to sneak, like, you know, when Luke used to get upset at me, he's like, why are you training at Kings today? I'm like, well, because if you get the hint, you need to come here, because then you actually fucking train on time.
I love him for it.
Okay. Oh, mate, like, I wouldn't change a thing. Like, that is Luke. That is fucking Luke.
Yeah.
Fred, did you ever get the story from Flex?
I got the story from Luke.
Oh, Luke told me the whole story. Luke
told me the whole story. Luke told me the whole story.
And where Flex told.
Yeah. The fan. Yeah. Luke, is it something you can say on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm only saying this because Flex actually commented the other day.
I didn't hear that story. I heard a story that I can't tell on the podcast.
Well, I kept him out of jail that night. I'll tell you that much.
No, it wasn't that. It was something else. Okay. I can't even allude to it. I'll tell you after. I'll tell you.
the other person you're talking about.
What's that?
I know the other person you're talking
about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He told me that story.
I mean, that's part of that night, but on the way out, so bearing in mind, so I'll tell you that this story is not anything bad, but
it's PG.
Yeah, so we go to this nightclub, and I basically pimped Flex out to get drinks, right? So we're in Germany. This is on the Saturday night at FIBO, right? So there's myself, Flex, Luke, Donna, and Eric Hart. Eric Hart's the president of Redcon One, right?
Yeah.
Our fucking boss.
Yeah.
We start drinking in this Brazilian steakhouse, and we're lining up Long Island iced teas, and we get through, there's five of us, we get through 25 of them, right?
Yeah.
And we are, I'm pretty toasty.
Yeah.
We go like, oh, there's got to be some clubs around. So we go in, everywhere's like either full or there's nothing really going on. We find this one where they've got like a FIBO party going on, and we're like, sweet, let's go in there. There must be someone who will know us and will, you know. And I'm leading this because I'm like, I'm nobody, but I've got Luke Sando and I've got Flex Lewis with me.
Yeah.
Eric Hart. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to exploit the shit out of this.
Yeah.
And Luke will tell you, I blagged a lot of things when we were at shows. I'm like, no, Luke said it was fine. Luke said, look.
Yeah.
So we go in and I'm like, Flex Lewis is here. And they're like, okay. I'm like, who's running the VIP bit? Who's booked that out? It's a massive VIP area. And he said, oh, this company from Cyprus. And I'm like, get me the CEO of the company. So I turned around to guys and went, wait here, I'll sort this out. Mm-hmm. I got to the CEO and I'm like, hey, there's five of us. I'm with Luke Sando and Flex Lewis. Can we join in? And he said, oh, Flex Lewis? Yeah. can we have pictures? I'm like, yeah, you can have pictures with him. He won't mind. It's fine. Like anything you want, just, yeah. So run back out. I'm like, sorted. We're good. They give us these wristbands, right? And they give us these cards, like bank cards, but they're for the club.
Yeah.
Basically what they are is when you buy your drinks, you swipe them. And at the end of the night, you walk out and you have to settle your tab.
Yeah. Just,
fucking idea.
Yeah.
So we all get let in, but now we've got these VIP wristbands, so we don't pay for any drinks, right? We get in and Flex like, how did you fucking get us in here? I'm like, well, see him. He wants to talk to you. Go over here and steal all their drinks. Yeah. So Donna gets out the rum or vodka, and she's cracking it out of the bottle, right? Luke's going out of the bottle. We're going back and forth on the dance floor. Flex keeps turning around and we go, you fucker. Because you sold me for this shit, didn't you? I'm like,
oh, you sold me.
Then he's got some fan next to him, and he said, and the guy's pulled up his phone. He goes, oh, I'm sat next to Flex Lewis. Flex, say hello to all your friends in Iraq. Well, this was after the Hadi Chupran.
Oh yeah. Shit!
Yeah,
Flex didn't take that too well.
Yeah,
move on. We're going out the club. Donna didn't have a bank card or anything on her. So we're going out with these cards, the bank cards that you have to swipe to get out. And they wanted 20 euros each just as an entry fee.
Yeah.
And because we didn't get any drinks, they're like, oh, you have to pay for your drinks. I'm like, we didn't get any. We were free to get in. And Donna's slaughtered. So Donna's staggering around. Eric's bailed at this point. And Luke's very protective. So they're like, we're going to call the police. So Luke turns to me and he's like, I'm going to fucking start stomping and bashing around. So I turned to Luke and I said, you and Donna get in a taxi. I'll settle the bill. I'll figure this out. So they get in the taxi and then send them off. And then I turned around. I pay mine and I say, right, see you later. And they're like, what about the other two? And I went, I don't know who they were. And they were like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know who they were. They were just random people in the club. I end up with 10 German police officers around me. All I wanted to do was get Luke
out of the place. Yeah. Yeah.
I ended up somehow legally talking myself. I'm like, yeah, my sister's a lawyer. So I'm like, my sister's a lawyer. If you want to arrest me, please do so and we'll sort it out in the morning. It's not worth you hassle with the paperwork. And
yeah.
And when I got back to the room, Luke's throwing up everywhere and it's a mess. But like Eric put on his post yesterday, Sunday, because Flex said to me one thing when he left. He went, pointed at Luke and he went, he's your fucking responsibility. He's here to work. You make sure he's on the booth. I didn't need to. Luke was there. I mean, we were dying. We were struggling.
He showed up?
Oh, yeah. We were there on time. It was fucking hell. It's the first thing he's been on time for, right?
Yeah.
We were there on time and he stood there and shook hands and kissed babies. Yeah.
That's the worst feeling ever, man. I've done that the next day after. Fuck.
Yeah. And then we have to get a flight home hungover still as well in the evening, right? It's the worst.
Not for me.
I don't know how It's incredible to me that he did some of the things he did and acted some of the ways you guys are talking about, but still was like top 10 in the world. Even some people think top 5 in the world. Isn't it just, it's incredible.
That's why it's frustrating for me and Ben, because we're like, imagine if he did have the application of somebody else's.
Literally, we weren't drinking. I've drunk with him, I can probably say 11 times.
Yeah.
Him and I've actually had drinks together. Yeah. So it's, you know, he wasn't hitting it hard. I do think if you put Luke genetically and the way he can connect with a muscle with James's application,
yeah,
I have a 9-time Mr. Olympia, right?
Oh, mate, it would have been special. We need to have a kid.
James is the guy that spent 18 months of an off season doing an hour of fucking cardio in the morning because he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, James is special in that way.
Well, that's the thing. When you're not special, you've got to act special. But
so what do we want to leave people with? Because, you know, we've been on for about an hour and a half. I want to leave people with something other than, you know, we know there's mental awareness. Obviously, that has to be, you know, people have to talk and be open about how they talk to their family and friends and not keep everything bottled up inside. I don't know. Do you guys want to do some quick hitters and talk about Luke and some quick answers? Or do you want to tell people what you thought of Luke? Or how do you guys want to end this podcast? Because it's hard to continue on, because we could probably sit here all day and you guys could tell me stories about Luke and how amazing he is. And, you know, that's not going to end. So we have to end the podcast in one way or another. So I thought we could do a whole bunch of quick hitter questions, but it's kind of gimmicky. So I thought maybe you guys want to just say something about Luke before we go.
Ben?
I'm going to miss the guy a lot, you know? I don't want to be overly serious and somber, but it's going to leave a big hole. I never thought I would have to lose somebody that close to me at this age. But somebody that gave me so much, and I'll be grateful for that forever. The most generous person to myself and James. And, it was a ride. It was a blast, and I'm gutted it got cut short, but I wouldn't change anything for the world. Him and I had the day we met, he said to me, I want to get to the Olympia. And to me, I mean, that's why partly I moved here in September, because I couldn't be in two places, but it seemed a fitting chapter to end on. You know, we made it. And I remember the Arnold, and I remember being in the toilet with him after prejudging. And it was like a scene out of a film where we were just laughing and what the fuck, like, and he was telling me, he said something, he was to me, God, fucking guy that came fifth place in the British that beat me that year, and now I'm in fucking third at the Arnold Classic, fuck that guy. But he didn't even know who it was, he just said, like, it was just surreal, and I want to remember it. And like James said, he's a larger than life cartoon, and everything that him and I did was a film, you know, it was a wild ride.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
James, you want to go? Or you want me to go?
Oh, it's your show. Do you want me to go and then you can wrap it up?
Sure, go ahead.
I can say life will never be the same again. I can say that Luke, not only because of Luke not being here, but because of actually Luke's impact has changed everything, you know, from this moment forward. Like Ben said, he's done so much for others. You know, if you consider, you know, Ben was Redcon, I'm Redcon, you know, these things, they wouldn't have happened without Luke's influence and support and belief. And I feel that we have a duty to carry on and to do our best. And even if our best doesn't get us all the way, to do our best at life is to do Luke proud. And, you know, he cared about us a lot, and he wants people that he cares about to flourish. And I know for me, like, the bodybuilding really is my main focus. And I know it sounds really bland, but Luke's just given me even more reason to go against the grain, even though I'm not destined to be the best. And I just feel like Luke's kind of lit a fire up under my ass. And for him and for everyone that he's touched, I want to just try and carry somewhat that energy going forward and just try and be the best I can. And hopefully people can say, you know, he done well and he had the great support from great people. He had great friends. And Luke was one of those people. And I just hope that people remember Luke and don't ever forget, because he shouldn't be forgotten. He's an amazing man.
There is something, sorry, I just remembered.
No, go ahead.
Something that I'm going to do, or I'd like to do, I'm going to try to set an alarm on my phone. I think I'm going to do it every Sunday. I have too much on my phone of Luke, which has never seen the light of day. And he will beg me not to post it. Some of it's going to be, bodybuilders hate their own pictures, right? I've got progress pictures, I've got pictures in hotel rooms that we took 5-6 different sets of pictures in a day, and I'm just gonna pick one every Sunday, and I'd like to post that for his fans, for people to see. There's gonna be some there that aren't bodybuilding related and some that are, and I just want to carry that on, just give some people some Luke in their life, you know. It's unfair that it's sat on my phone and will stay hidden, and I'm just gonna, I know he wouldn't fucking want that to happen. He used to fight me tooth and nail when we were at shows. Not, don't post that. Don't. And I'm like, it's great. Watch it blow up. And I'd post it. And all the ones at the Arnold. I'm posting this. Like, fuck you. I'm like, wait, I posted. No, and I'm just going to do it again because he's going to hate it.
Yeah, all right.
Best mate privileges.
I'll wait for your cue then. When you post it, I'll repost it. And maybe James will do the same. And we'll just all.
Fuck it. Fuck
every,
it.
Every Sunday we'll just have a Luke post, and that'll be the thing until you run out of photos.
Yeah.
I obviously knew Luke the least out of the three of us, so it feels kind of weird to go last. I thought Ben should go last, but regardless, all I can say in the biggest impact Luke had on me was just, like I said earlier, I think honestly, man, I think our listeners got to know Luke just as much as I did, because we did that podcast and we didn't script anything, man. Most of the time he would log on and I would already have the record button hitting record button hit, and we would just talk. And I think that's why I'm getting the response I'm getting from people, is because the way I feel about Luke is from that 2 hours of conversation every week. And I think all the people listening had that conversation with us.
Yeah.
And I think if I have to say anything, the thing I'm most proud of is that I know Luke made his own way, but I feel like I exposed Luke to everybody, and I let everybody see who he really was.
Yeah.
As much as he wanted us to see anyways.
Yeah.
And I feel proud that I was able to do that before he passed. So I won't ever be able to replace him as a partner. Somehow we had a chemistry. I don't know why we weren't, like, we didn't know each other for years like you guys did. We just, for some reason, we had a chemistry when we spoke that it felt like it was a natural rhythm. And I'm going to miss him, man. I'm going to miss, you know, he just fucking made me laugh every week. Like, yeah. He just, every week I would come and I would really look forward to just sitting. And I knew I was either going to laugh a lot or laugh a little, but I knew I was going to fucking laugh with him for that hour or two that we were talking. And I'm going to miss that, I think, more than anything. And, anyway, I feel kind of like what you said earlier, Ben, in your IGTV, I feel privileged that he did that with me and he accepted my offer to do the show with me, and he did it with me every week. It was a privilege for me to be able to be connected to him for that period of time.
I need to thank you as well for having me on last Saturday. That was the longest I'd spoken to him since I left back in December. We've chatted here and there, but to me, I'm glad I got that opportunity to share that one last time. You know, none of us knew that'd be the last time. So I appreciate you having me on.
I think it was great. Every time I had you on, or when I had James on, it was always fun, and it obviously just flowed naturally because we're all friends. So it was nice. But I don't know. You know, the saddest thing now, I'm not like, you know, me and Ben talked about it a little bit. I don't know how to move forward. And me and James talked about it a little bit before we hit record today. You know, there is no more, like, it's weird. It's like, when do you go back to the gym? Like, I've had one meal in the last like 36 hours. So like, I just don't know how to get back to normal life, or when it's acceptable to get back to normal life. So I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah. They'll feel like it's just, each to his own.
Yeah.
You know, do what's right for you. And, however that is, whatever that is, you know,
yeah.
You just got to cope. You just got to cope, and you know, the sun's going to rise tomorrow, and we have to not forget ourselves at the same time.
On a side note, can I say, James, you're looking absolutely fucking massive in that t-shirt.
It's tight, isn't it? Ooh, it's a tight one. I'm trying. I've put on quite a bit of weight, to be fair, so it might be that. You know
what I mean? Okay, guys, listen, I appreciate you guys coming on and doing this with me. And telling some stories, and hopefully people will watch this and it'll give them a better idea of who Luke was, or make them feel something. But anyway, thank you very much. And until next time, I'm sure we'll talk again very, very soon.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And big love, man, to both of you. And, you know, I just want to send my love to both of you as friends from one to another. And, you know, we'll all get through this. And big up to the big man, Luke, and rest in peace.
Okay, guys.